good old Catholic family, but there were eight of us, and my oldest sister has had failing health. She had a couple of heart attacks dealing with COPD, and I hadn't been able to get out to see her the last year, much as I wanted to, but it worked out that I could. She had been asking for me and my younger brother, and so we made it out to Edmonton, just about 2 weeks ago, and to visit with her. We were praying, and I had the opportunity to lead her to the Lord, by the way, about a couple or 3 months ago, her and her husband. Her children I had led to the Lord previously on visits when I was out there, and my brother and his wife I led to the Lord a number of years ago, the same weekend, my sister and her husband. And so we went out there, and we were praying for my sister because she was in the hospital, and she could get out if she met some milestones, walk 3 stairs, sit up, do a couple of things, and she hadn't been able to do that. We got there that morning. She was able to hit the milestones. They released her in the afternoon. So we were at home. We were visiting. While we were visiting, I got a message from here. I got a message from Pastor John, and it was time to pray. Suddenly, it was discovered that Rihanna had type 1 diabetes. And if any of you have had that experience with children, it comes on, you don't know. It just happens. When sick kids said that they get 2-3 cases a week of type 1 diabetes. And so it just comes on. And when she went to the Peterborough Hospital, they found out what was going on. They airlifted her with Julia to Sick Kids Hospital the next morning. And normally it only takes them about 8 hours to bring blood sugars and all the levels into place. But they weren't coming into place for some reason. They couldn't figure out why. Eventually they did, and it was, the EMS trying to do a good thing and gave her too much sedative, and it was prohibiting the recovery. And so while she was in Sick Kids, and I was en route to Sick Kids from Edmonton, my new wife, her son, is a pilot, so I was blessed with the favor of getting on airplanes and flying whatever I want. So that was just set up a couple of weeks ago, too, coincidentally. Not coincidentally. So I get on the airplane, go to Toronto, and I was somewhat taken up with the situation, I might say. And so I had my brother's keys, and I left them on the seat of the rental car he was driving. I got there, went to the car, and there were no keys. And I thought, oh, I lost his keys. And new cars, the keys are expensive to replace. You can't get in them, can't, hotwire them, nothing like that. So you can't, you're stuck. And so I was thinking, okay, how do I get to the hospital? Well, God's going to provide a way. So I started praying again. And I went in the hotel and asked them, how to get there, if they had shuttles, whatever. I just come from the hospital with an airport limousine that was like $35. They wanted $85 to go downtown. I thought, oh, gee. Anyway, turned out I got my first Uber experience, and I made it really quickly. The guy was only a minute away from the hotel, and I got right down to Sick Kids Hospital right away. And I walked into an environment where the presence of God was there. And I walked in, and I had a peace right from day one because I knew God was in control, and I knew God was going to heal Rihanna, and I knew that. But when I walked in the room, there was a presence of God there, and there was a faithful mother there. And Julia taught me something about faith that I had never seen before. It was unshakable, and the word was being spoken. For every waking moment, the word was being spoken. Results were happening. Things were going on. Despite the negative reports, despite what the doctors were saying, I don't know how many times we said, we're not receiving that. We're not receiving that, right? Because normally, what would happen in a situation like that, there would be brain damage, there would be sight damage, there would be all this damage. None of the above. None of the above, to the glory of God. And so as we prayed and watched God work, listened to reports, didn't receive them, continued to pray, we watched Rihanna's life get restored. And so it's almost 100%, and it's going to be 100%, and we're believing for 100%. But the message is this, and the testimony is this. God is good. He's faithful to his word. And his word spoken over our families in the right way, with conviction and faith, knowing the word is true, is going to bring results. I saw those results. My hat's off to Pastor Julia. You are so blessed in this church. You are so blessed to have the leadership that you have, because faith is where we come from. Faith is our heritage. Faith is what pleases God. It's not our needs. It's our faith that pleases God. So I want to thank you, and I'm just so blessed. And Rihanna, we all love you so much. And, you know, we're just so thankful. So, so thankful to God the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're very thankful for God, and that's why it's really important for every one of us to lay hold of the Word of God and get it working for us. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added. So it's really important to just trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. So turn with me to Corinthians for a minute. We're going to have communion. When we have communion, and I'm not going to take a long time doing this, but two things that I get out of communion is when we take this, we're taking what He did for us. And He says to do this remembrance of me and what I did. And in His death came our victory. In His death came our victory in every area of life. Like he went to hell. The Bible says He went to hell and He stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So He went to hell so you don't have to go to hell. He took the stripes on His back so you could be healed. You know, He took torment. The Bible, if you read in the Bible talks about over here in Isaiah how He was tormented. In every way which you and I can be, but without sin. And He did it all for us. And when we do this, we're doing this remembrance of what He did for us. And to keep your faith. Because in this world, the Bible says you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And that's why it's really important to stick with Him. And just keep your mind renewed on the Word of God. And just keep the Word alive in your life. And just keep it working. So right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 18, it says, first of all, when you come together, I hear that there be division among you, and I partly believe it. That's 11 in verse. What did I say? Oh, okay, sorry. Verse 18. It says, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, is this not to eat the Lord's Supper? And eating, everyone taketh up before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not your own houses to drink in, and despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What I say unto you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I receive of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He had betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then He said the same thing after this, the cup. This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. So in His death came our what? Our victory, right? So when we take this, you know, if you're dealing with things today, like, I mean, I think last Sunday or last month, I talked a lot about not allowing bitterness in your heart towards anybody, because that's the one thing that He talks about here. And then He goes on to say, you know, that's why some people struggle, and that's why some people fall asleep before their time. And that's why, because of bitterness, because Jesus paid the price. And we need to, so if there's things in your heart, just get rid of it. I mean, it's as easy as making a choice to get rid of it. Just like that. I've had people do me wrong over my life. And it'll, in your mind, you'll meditate on it. You'll think on it. And it grows bigger. And then someday I'll literally out loud just say, I am not that thought. I'm a man of forgiveness, and I've forgiven them, and I'm not having it. And that's how I make a choice to forgive. And then I say, God, give me a door to be good to that person. Because, see, out of your heart, see, what people don't realize this, is out of your heart, not your head, but out of your heart, will flow the issues of your whole life. And you can't have bitterness in your heart and faith in your heart. You can't operate in two things. And that's why you just got to walk in love with people, regardless of whether people are right or wrong. Just keep your heart right. Be happy. And then when it's time to believe God, your faith is already dealt to every one of us, and you can just operate and move in it. That's why Julie and I have such a good relationship. The Bible says to treat your wife right, lest your prayers be hindered. It's not that God doesn't hear your prayers and answer your prayers. It's that faith can't operate where there's bitterness, right? You just can't have good water and bad water. And you just can't have bitterness. You just got to let it out of your heart and forgive whatever people have done to you, because God's God and He'll make it up to you. Right? God will make it up to you. Just get things right, and just remember this. When we take this, we're taking this in remembrance of what He did for us. If you need healing, if you need, I don't know what you need, but you just take this, because in His death came our victory. This is where it all began. You know? So do you want to just come up and sing? And we just have whoever's going to come and take out communion, and we'll do this. And we do this in remembrance of what He did for us. I'll just read the rest of this while they're giving it out. It says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And you know, to get things right with God is just to say, hey, you know, Father, I come to You. And I ask You to just forgive me. And just get rid of anything that could hinder you from God. Because He loves you regardless of you. And He wants the best for you. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
There's a place where sea reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. It's at the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. I owe all to You, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God, forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. It's at the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe to you. I owe to you. It's at the cross, at the cross, I surrendered my life. I'm in all of you. Yes, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe to you. I owe to you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Father, we just are so thankful for the Word of God that's alive, that's real. That, Lord, you'll affect our life daily. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. And I give you glory. Father, Lord, I am so thankful for what you did at the cross. That we couldn't do enough to get there. That you came and you sent your son Jesus to die for us. And Father, you said when we come together to take this in remembrance of what you did. And Father, I'm not sure what people need today. But every time we take communion, it remembers of what you did at the cross for us. You were tormented. You had mental anguish. You had physical anguish. Your friends left you. You went to hell. You were beaten. You were alone. And you did that for us, that we don't have to be alone. That we don't have to be sick. That we don't have to be poor. That we don't have to go to hell. That we don't have to have mental anguish. And Father, as we take this, we receive everything that you did at the cross. You said, Lord, when we take this bread, it just represents your body that was broken for us. Father, we take this bread and we receive it right now. Father, if there's things in our body that aren't right, we receive your healing because you took them stripes on your back for our wellness. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you. Lord, this cup, it just represents your blood that was shed for us, for the remission of our sins. Father, we thank you so much. We were lost, destined to hell because not one of us could make it there on our own. But Father, you shed your blood so we could come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Father, I am so thankful we got Jesus. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. And I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. Just going to strap this thing on here for a few minutes. Like that. I'm just joking. Don't turn that up. As I was doing that joke, it replayed in my head, and I thought this could be really bad. So I was... pretending you couldn't hear me, and then Michael was going to jack the thing up, but I thought, no, that's a bad idea. John, thank you for that testimony. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. I mean, God's done some wonderful things there, and it's awesome. It's awesome. So thank you for sharing that. Anita, thank you for singing this morning. That was wonderful. Pearl, thank you for leading worship. I figure if I thank enough people, my time will be done, and we can just go eat. Praise the Lord. John, thank you for now. So this morning, I just actually, you know, I just wanted to share something real quick. I had a different direction I thought I was going to go in. And just as the whole morning has gone, it's the Lord just put some different things in my heart, and I want to share real quickly some stuff that we should all know. But I think it's something that we all know, and yet we get into life. And we get into situations and we find ourselves bombarded with things or struggling or something going on. And we want to almost reinvent the wheel when it comes to our faith. And sometimes we just need that reminder of the basics to say, wow, I really am set up for victory here. I really should be winning. So let's just take a step back and start winning. Okay, and it really is as simple as a choice. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to jump there with me, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is the, you can call this the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. It's the faith chapter. One of the chapters of the Bible that Kenneth Hagin wrote. It's a phenomenal. I'm just joking. Kenneth Hagin quoted from Hebrews 11 so much that I think so many people thought he wrote it, but it's not. It wasn't him. It was the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the definitive how this thing works chapter. If you want to understand what faith is, you go to Hebrews chapter 11. It says here in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, let me ask you this. How did the elders obtain a good report? By faith. You might say, who are the elders? Well, The author of Hebrews goes on to start listing who some of those elders are. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Enoch. He talks about different people in the Bible. He talks about Noah. And he goes through all, you know, the different stories of their lives and how faith played a role in bringing about the manifestation of the thing they were believing God for. But it says this, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You have to understand that in order to get a good report, you have to have this one ingredient. It's called faith. Now, the wonderful thing about faith and a good report doesn't mean that you currently need to see everything perfect. It didn't say that. It said they obtained a good report. How? By faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. For by it, what? Faith. They obtained a good report. So what is faith? Well, in verse 1, it gives us a very clear description of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if you're in faith, believing for the manifestation, you've already obtained the good report of what it is you're believing for. And so if you've got a good report, and you know the end result before you've seen it manifest, why would we ever waver from that and not see the manifestation come to pass? It doesn't matter if it's 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years. If you already have a good report because you're in faith, why would you ever waver from that report? Faith is the substance. If you think of anything physical, okay, this podium is made of a substance. This happens to be made of wood, okay? These envelopes have a substance. It's paper. The shoes you're wearing are made of something. Who knows what these days? Could be leather. Could be some petroleum byproduct. We don't know. Okay? But everything has substance. It's what makes it up. If the seat you're sitting on, the pew you're sitting on this morning, had no substance, where would you be sitting? On the floor. Or sitting by faith somehow on something that isn't there, but I don't know. But you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting if the pew didn't have substance. Now, you might not know. Now, I mean, it would be really hard not to figure out that this pew's made of wood. But if you might not know the substance or everything that makes up the thing that you are touching, you know, I know this is a type of metal. To be quite honest, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you exactly what these are made out of. Could be aluminum, could be tin, could be, pretty sure it's not, cast iron or steel or something like that. But you know what I mean? You might not fully understand it, but you understand that there is substance. Faith is the substance of what you've hoped for, of what you're believing for. You've not yet, if I'm hoping for something, I have not yet obtained it. And yet, I know that I will obtain it because the substance of the very thing that I'm believing for, hoping for, is found in faith. It's encapsulated in faith. It is the evidence of things I haven't seen. I haven't seen maybe the manifestation of a particular healing in my life, but I believe it's coming. Why? Because I have evidence that it's mine, that it's done. I have that good report. Why? Because of faith. See, faith is evidence. When you're in a court of law and they're trying to convict someone of a crime, or they're trying to free someone and overturn the prosecution and prove their innocence. What are they looking for? Evidence. Something that proves and places the result that they're looking for. So if you're trying to put somebody on a murder rap or something like that, they want evidence that will place the person that's been charged at the scene of the crime. And evidence today is pretty high tech. You know, I mean, you've got eyewitnesses and you've got different things. You can do fingerprints. They have DNA evidence. They have all kinds of things that they'll use. Has anybody ever watched any of those crime shows or cop shows? We don't have TV in our house, so we're not heathens. But no, if sometimes when we go to a hotel, those shows will come on, and like we're away at a hockey tournament or something like that. And I like the ones that, like, April and I will watch them sometimes. She's not in the room, but she's more into them than I am. I'm just being honest. But we'll watch the ones where, like, it's the real crime, like how they solve it and stuff like that. And it's really amazing how they'll go back sometimes 30 years. And with new technology, they can actually discover things, and they'll go back 30 years. Okay? They're not going, well, we didn't solve it in a week. I guess that person's getting away with it. They'll go back 30 years now on a cold case. And they'll be able to discover the evidence that this person was guilty. Well, guess what? We have evidence that the thing we're believing God for is ours through faith. Faith is the substance. It's what gives it tangibility. If you want to see healing manifested in your body, what gives that the actual substance and manifestation is the fact that you have faith. It gives it tangibility. And it gives you the evidence. Another great example, and I've used this before, of evidence is you could say it's the confirmation. Faith is the confirmation. Anybody book a hotel room before for anything? Conferences, go away, okay? You book a hotel room, whether you do it over the phone, do it online, however you do it, they usually give you a booking or confirmation number. Thank you. Well done, class. So you get that booking number or confirmation number, and you show up at a hotel, and if they say to you, we're terribly sorry, we don't have a record of your booking, we don't have it in our system, and you pull out the email, and you've got the confirmation number, and it's come right from their offices and whatever, you've got proof. You say, I've paid for this thing online, I've already booked it, it's already taken care of, get me a room. And they have to get you a room. Now, you can do like friends of ours did and go into the hotel. They're at a hockey tournament. And they said, we have a room here. And they said, sorry, sir, we don't see your name in the system. And he says, well, that's weird. I've got this confirmation number. And they pull up the email and the booking. And they said, okay, yeah, it's this is the hotel chain. And that's definitely one of our confirmation numbers. Like, yeah, you're in the wrong city. The tournament was Oshawa, and they were trying to book into a hotel in Ajax. And, you know. So, don't go quite in guns blazing. I have a confirmation. You know, that didn't pan out well for them. They had to leave and go to the other. But guess what? When they got to the right hotel, they had a room. Praise the Lord. So it's the confirmation, okay? It's proof that you had booked a room there. I've actually had that happen to me. I've been at and I was at the right hotel, and they didn't see it, and I showed them, and then they had to call into like the head office because it's everything that gets booked online goes through like channels, and it just hadn't got to the local hotel, and they went, terribly sorry for the mix-up, terribly sorry. And we got our room. I think actually we got our room with some perks thrown in for the inconvenience. And they took care of us. But guess what? You have this confirmation number. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us what faith is. When Julia had been down in Toronto and John got that call and he came to Toronto, what were they walking in? Faith. Okay, they're believing God. This year we've had some, and we got Beckham looked at, but we've had this weirdest year for Beckham in hockey. It was crazy. And we just didn't know what was going on with him. He still finished like top 10 in the league in scoring, and he was doing great on his team. But there was days where he couldn't even move. And he'd go out for a shift, and he'd come and he'd lay on the bench and didn't want to go back out on the ice. And this is not like our son. And so we didn't know what was going on. So we're praying over him. We're speaking over him. But what are we doing? We're believing God by faith for him to be healed. And we're speaking to him. And we're going, we're not accepting this. We're not accepting this. And the thing is, stuff gets thrown at us. And it's going to knock the wind out of your sails sometimes. If you suffer a setback, do you say, well, I guess this faith stuff doesn't work? No. See, the beautiful thing in my life is I've seen faith work. I've seen the miraculous. I've seen God do things. You know, and I don't have answers for everything. I could try to answer how these things worked and said, well, maybe it was just this, maybe it was just that. But the thing is, I don't know. And medically, they don't know. And so I just go, well, praise God. We prayed and God dealt with it. When Owen was before he was born, we got an ultrasound. Owen will be 16 this summer. We got an ultrasound. And they said they thought his heart was on the wrong side of his body. Now they said, that's okay if all your internal organs are flipped. You just have to make a note of it. And when you go to have surgery or anything in the future, if there's a procedure to be done and they don't cut the wrong side of the body because if they're expecting something to be one place, it's on the other side. They said that it's very rare, but it happens. And it's okay. You live a normal life. I don't know if you'd have to wear one of those bracelets or something that says, check the other side, or get a tattoo that says heart's over here. I don't know. But but they said it could be normal. But they said if the heart's on the other side and everything else is where it's supposed to be, that's very bad. So here we are, first baby. They say we have a little concern. We get the report. We don't run away from the doctor's office. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We just say, we're not accepting that. We go back. I can't remember when it was, weeks, or if it was a month later, a couple months later, I can't remember. But we go back for the next ultrasound. Meanwhile, he's still growing and developing in the womb. So far, so good, right? And we go back. We have another ultrasound later. And they come out and they basically say, well, maybe something was wrong before. Maybe we read it wrong. We don't know. But everything's normal. But when you have an ultrasound picture that clearly shows the heart on the wrong side of the body, and then they look at another one, everything's fine. Did they read it wrong? Or did they... You know what? I don't care what it was. All I know is we didn't run off to the hills crying. We said, we're not receiving that. And we obtained the good report by faith. And in time, the manifestation of what we were believing for, because we had evidence and substance that what we were believing for would come to pass, came to pass. Okay? We've had lots of stories over the years where we believe God for something. And then I have stories like I had on Wednesday. Pastor John knows maybe a little bit because he called me. I'm in Toronto and I'm at a Blue Jays game. Don't go to very many of those, maybe one a year. Went to a Blue Jays game on Wednesday. Before I left, I felt something weird going on. Like, oh, I don't feel great. I said, no, I'm not receiving that. No, in Jesus' name, I'm going to this Blue Jays game. I'm going to have a good time. Okay, the Blue Jays won 5-3, which is great because nobody wants to get swept by the Orioles. They're like awful, awful team. Why? They lost two in a row to Baltimore. I'll never know. But they won the day I was there. Praise the Lord. And I'm there, enjoying my experience, get ready for the opening pitch. I take a quick zip up to the bathroom, and relieve all the contents of my stomach through my mouth. Shockingly, in fact, because I did not expect that to happen. It's not what I felt was about to happen. I just walked up and went, oh, and it just happened. I was in the wheelchair accessible stall, which was great because I didn't want to get anywhere near. I didn't want my face anywhere more near to that toilet in a baseball stadium than it had to be. And so there's railings, and I'm able to do one of these. And it came out of me, and I went, what on earth is going on? And then I'm thinking, I felt something weird going on in my stomach earlier, and I said, I'm not receiving sickness. I'm not receiving this. And here I am throwing up. And I just said, that's it. It's out of me. Done. I'm not having any more of this. Until the sixth inning, or the second inning, and then again in the sixth inning. Let's just say I'm glad I didn't pay for the tickets because I missed a lot of the game. Now, I'm sitting here. At one point, Pastor John phones me, and I say, hello? Hey, what are you doing? I'm at the Jays game in Toronto. Not feeling very good. Oh, you're funny. I can't hear you. What are you saying? I'm in a spot that doesn't get good reception. I'm in Toronto. What are you doing? I'm at the Jays game. But I'm missing it. Why are you missing it? Because I'm puking my guts out. Oh, you were serious. Compassionate pastor that we have. And I'm sitting here, though. And you know what? I was bound and determined. I had my friend who I went with. Texted me, like, are you okay? Like, should we leave? Do you want to go to the hospital? Like, do you want to get some, you know, medical attention? What do you want? I said, no, that'll ruin a day at the ballpark. Just stay and watch. And so the usher there was really good to me. I showed him my tickets, and I'm way down there. We were right behind, a few rows behind the dugout. Great seats. I didn't sit there for other than an inning and a half. Right where I was sitting. You know how baseballs come into play sometimes, and like, yeah, my friend got a baseball. He goes, I don't want to make it feel worse, but I just grabbed a baseball from where you were sitting. So it would have come to me. He did offer it to me, but I didn't really want a great reminder of the day. And but I ended up sitting in the back row of our section. I could watch. I got to see the Blue Jays hit their two home runs, and I did get to see the most important parts of the game. And I enjoyed myself. Truthfully, I enjoyed myself. And I said, we'll have to do this again sometime, but not anytime soon. I need to let this go a bit, this memory. But I said, but here's the thing. I'm in this state, and I'm going, everything in me is going, some faith guy you are. Look at you. And I would, you know what my answer back was? I'm still here. And I'm watching the ball game. See, I remember the third trip to the bathroom. I remember doing what I had to do and saying, get this out. It was almost like a defiantly, yeah, you do what you want. I'm getting back out there. I'm watching this baseball game. You're not ruining my day. And quite frankly, it was a great day. I had a great day. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed hanging out with my friend. We had a lot of fun. We were on the GO train and, you know, met people. It was we had a great day. And yet, this thing's attacking my body. But I've seen too much of the miraculous power of God to roll over with one sickness, to roll over and quit because one thing attacked my body and it just seemed to be relentless. And you know what? I haven't had, physically speaking, you know, I haven't had a great week. Since then, there's definitely moments I feel great and I'm like wonderful, and the next moment I'm going, oh man. But I haven't stopped doing anything that I'm supposed to do. We went to Peterborough yesterday, and hockey season's over, so we went to Peterborough for hockey, and we're going back there today. It's just, you know, we're just try not to miss a beat. Why? Because I have evidence that regardless of what it looks like on the outside and what I'm going through, that faith produces the good report, and I have evidence that I am healed. And I am not going to waver from that. See, that's the difference. Is what we need to do in life is understand that we are what God has called us to be. And you and I, and I'm closing with this. We didn't take up the offering yet, have we? Okay. I was going to say, that's really pitiful if we did. I know we don't beg for money here. But come on, people. I mean, praise the Lord. No, I don't remember what I was going to say. We're going to bless the food here in a minute. But I want to get across this morning just this quick thing as we were just had a short time to share this. I want us to understand. It was like a basics, right? Go back to the basics. Faith is. It's the substance of what you're hoping for. It's the evidence of what you don't yet see. It's how you obtain the good report. You obtain the good report by faith. You don't get the results yet, although they can happen instantly and they can happen over time. It's not the results. It's not the perfection. You don't look at the situation and go, this is not perfect. This is not me, you know, having an issue at the Blue Jays game. That was not great. But that was not my good report. What was my good report? My good report was I am the healed. Amen. And this will pass. Why? Because of faith. I knew that I knew that I knew what the Word of God said concerning my healing. And so we go through life, and I want us to remember this as we close. Go through life. Believe God. Get a hope. Get a dream. Get a vision. Get something that you're, whether it's, you know, it could be a need, but it could be something greater than a need. It could be something that you're just, I want to do this in life. I want, you feel God's put something on your heart. If you don't see it coming to pass in your kids, in your life, in your situation, just yet. And you know, the everybody wants the best for their kids. Everyone wants the best for everything. And then you get a, you know, you got to take them to the hospital. You got to do this or something happens. You look at the situation and say, this is not our report. This is not the end result. This is not what we settle for. What we settle for is nothing less than the best that God has for us. Amen? And we do that by faith. We do that because we have substance and evidence. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word and your faith. Galatians 2:20, Father, tells us that the life that we live now, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by having faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God. That we have been given your faith, the very faith that you operated in, you've placed on the inside of us. Father, Romans 12 tells us that we've been given the measure of faith. So how do we unlock this evidence? How do we unlock this substance and make it manifest in our lives? By believing you and by believing your word and by stirring our hearts up to trust you regardless of what the circumstances might say, regardless of what the doctors might say, regardless of what the bankers might say, what the economists say, what the politicians say, regardless of what anyone says, we place our faith, our evidence in what you say. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go and enjoy this spaghetti dinner together. Bless it to our bodies as you bless those who have prepared it for us, as we have a great time of fellowship. And we thank you for the opportunity to sow seed into the kingdom of God as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning to you, that we are cheerful givers, given as you've placed on our hearts, that we just want to, it's an extension and an outpouring of our love and worship of you. And we thank you, Father, that as we give and sow that seed, it's going to produce a harvest in our lives and return unto us so that we can give some more. Because, Father, we want to be a blessing. And we just thank you and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Lord is my shepherd.